Okay, I turn this on. Is it on? I never know. Sound and us don't get along. We, for whatever reason, sound systems don't like me. I am excited to be back here. And for those of you who have not been here, you're in for the first time I came to an advance, I asked Harold Vaughn, is this too loud? Okay, I don't want to blow anybody out. I asked Harold Vaughn, I said, Harold, why do you call it a prayer advance? He says, Sister, we don't retreat in advance, or we don't retreat in prayer, we advance. Okay. So I was excited and I was hooked because I was really excited when I heard Brother Hughes, because the message that God has worked in and is working through me is what I'm going to do right now, entitled A Passion to See His Glory. And so when I heard him, I thought, yes! So let's open in prayer, ladies, and then we will go ahead and begin. Father, it is such a privilege to come before one who is so great. And Father, we want to bow the knee. We want to bow our hearts. Lord, we want to see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. I pray, Father, that you would enable us to get rid of all of our personal agendas. Father, I pray that Jesus Christ would be preeminent, that we would hunger and thirst for him, that we would long for him. And Father, I pray that you right now would pour out your Spirit and empower. Lord, I have nothing to offer apart from what you can do. And so I ask that you would do what no human being can do, that you would magnify your name. Lord, you know every heart. You know every need. And so I ask that you would work in each lady. Father, do a very deep work that we might truly long to see your glory. And Father, I pray that we would love you with every breath of our being. Thanks so much for the privilege of being here. And we do pray that you would have thine own way. And so, Lord, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. May your word be lifted up, we pray. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be going to Psalm 63, but I want to begin by just saying to you what David prayed to the Lord when he said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And in Isaiah 40, the scriptures say, Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. He bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, and that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Ladies, why are you here? You know, have you come to get a break? Have you come because, well, it was a thing to do, or, you know, or I just came because I was invited? My prayer is that you have come because you want God to show himself mighty. You know, one thing I found about God's people as I have the privilege to travel, many of them, not a lot, but let me say some of them are hungry, but I have found few of God's people who are starving. Starving to see the presence and power of God. Starving to see God do a work that cannot be explained humanly. I tell my students often at where I teach, and I say, you know what, I have a goal for you this semester, and they kind of look at me funny, and I say, I want to make you desperate. And they're like, you want us to be desperate women? I said, yes, desperate for the presence and power of God. Desperate to see God do what no human being can do. Desperate to see the glory of God. And so as we look at Psalm 63, The psalmist says these words, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. And so, ladies, let me propose to you that those who have a passion to see God's glory will experience His manifest presence. But do you have that passion? You say, you know, I'm okay. I mean, I read my Bible, I pray. I didn't ask you that. Do you have a passion to see God's glory? You say, well, I'm not a passionate person. Yes, you are. We're all very passionate. The question is, what are you passionate about? Or maybe I should say this, who is your passion? Or what is your passion? You know, an evangelist one time told the story. He says that when he went into the church, that the pastor said to him, now brother so-and-so. He said, I want you to understand, we're not emotional people. We're not passionate like you are. You know, just understand that. And so, you know, Van just got up, preached his heart out. And, you know, he said the people were pretty dull, I guess. And shortly after that, he said, in 2 weeks I was invited, because I guess he was there for a while, to a football game. And he says, and here was this preacher. And he says, the preacher's son was running for a touchdown. He says, and that preacher got up and he took his hat and he's banging my head. And he says, preacher, he's saying to the evangelist, did you see my boy? And the evangelist looks at him. He says, you're the most emotional, unemotional person I've ever met. He says, it's all according to what you want to get excited about. And so I want to look at four different areas where we see God's glory and we can experience His presence. And number one, His glory is manifested, ladies, in His love. His glory is manifested in His love. His love is pure. It is undefiled. It is unmixed with evil. The Bible says in Psalm 63, Thy loving kindness is better than life. Now, how many of us would say that God's loving kindness is better than life? You know, as I deal with young people, the one thing that I find that they question more than anything else is the love of God. I don't know how often I hear, if God loved me, why would He allow this? Or if God loved me, and we have a wrong view of love because we've gotten our opinion or our definition of love from what the world says, rather than what God says. And what we heard, love is evidenced by sacrifice. And when I think of the love of Christ, I think of what the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ladies, and you say, but then why do all of these, quote, things happen? If God loves me and if His glory is manifested in His love, then why this? You know where I always have to take ladies and where I want to take you? I always take them to one place, and that place is the cross. Because my Bible tells me in Philippians 2 that who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, you know, that may not mean a lot to you, but when I think what Ephesians tells me, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ladies, do you realize you were dead in trespasses and sins? Wherein in times past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That is the glory of God. It's manifested in His love. And ladies, you say, but all of these things are happening. You know, I often ask students a question, and ladies, I says, did God the Father love His Son, Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Did He spare Him from suffering? As a matter of fact, the greatest suffering ever showed is where the greatest love was manifested. And God, when He called Saul of Tarsus and converted him to become Paul, He said to Ananias, I will show him what great things he must suffer for My name's sake. Because you're first-timers, you know, almost 12 years ago now, when my husband ended his life as a result of sin, and I remember standing there and looking up and thinking about the fact that I was pregnant and I had two children who had been defiled, and the circumstances that were going on, you know, I could have sat there and I thought to myself, Lord, I don't understand any of this, but I know this. I love You and I'm going to trust You, because You can lay me to dust, only bring glory to Your name. And as I have tried to teach my children, as they have struggled through, as I have said to them, God has a high and holy purpose in all that He brings, and His love, yes, it does permit things, and sinful people make sinful choices, but His love is never in question. It's interesting that in John 12, what Brother Hughes pointed out, is that the Bible says Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but from that point on, when you read until the end, everything you see in there seems to indicate He doesn't. Because when He's called to come to the rescue, He doesn't come, He waits. He waits until it's too late. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. And you think, what? And He ends by saying, said I not, if thou wouldst believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God. Ladies, His love passes knowledge. His love is shown in sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, than He lay down His life for His friends. Jesus laid down His life for His enemies. And when I think that the God who spoke this universe into existence, and who upholds all things by the word of His power, and in whom all things consist, was beaten, and when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. When they plucked out His beard, when they beat Him and said, prophesy, and when they put Him through such torture, and you think, well, the physical was terrible, but it was nothing compared to the spiritual, ladies. When He looked at the cup, He was in horror. He was astonished. And He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. And the answer was, no. And in there, He was going to bear the sins of the world. Ladies, if you had to bear all the sins you've ever committed, it would flatten you. And yet He bore every sin, and not only that, He would be separated from His Father. And yet He obediently went. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and I think all He had to do was say one word. He could have said, you know what, these people aren't worth them, wipe them out. But He didn't. And He could have called 12 legions of angels, but He didn't. And remember, ladies, we are talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says who alone has immortality. The Bible says that thousands minister to Him. They cease not to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And just to give you a glimpse, because I also am a science teacher, I told my students that we live in the Milky Way galaxy, of which there are an estimated 100 billion stars. And just across the Milky Way galaxy, which is 130,000 light years thick, and to travel one light year, traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. And now you think, okay, 60 seconds in a minute, and 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours in a day, and 365 days in a year, and you're multiplying all those numbers by 186,000 miles just to travel one year, and then multiply that times 130,000. That's just the Milky Way galaxy. And it is but one of billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars, and God calls them all by names. He holds them and measures them in the span of His hand, and that God died for me. And I have the audacity to question His love and His wisdom, and to say why. You know, when the apostles suffered, they rejoiced they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His sake. When Paul was beaten, When bonds and afflictions abode him, you know what he said? None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing moved them. And the first thing that comes out of our mouths when we go through suffering is, why me? We have become so self-centered. Ladies, his glory is manifested in his love. It's love that will not let me go. It's love that sought me. When Adam and Eve sinned, who sought them? Did they go looking for God? Now, did God have to seek them? He told them, don't eat. They ate. And God could have said, you made your bed, lie in it. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. When David sinned, who sought him through the, and sent the prophet Nathan? God did. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save the lost. I'm one of those that God sought. I was a mess. I was immoral. I was in the occult. God ransomed my soul. Ladies, I never want to get over it. His glory is manifested in his love. It's a pure love. But ladies, can I say this? It's a jealous love. Now, we think of jealousy as a bad thing. But do you know what? The Bible says God is jealous. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 34:14. Look at that, please, real quick. Exodus 34:14. You sure this isn't too loud? It sounds loud up here. 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. You know what God's jealousy is? It's his burning zeal for his own and his passionate reaction against spiritual adultery. God is jealous. Paul said, I have espoused you to Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin. He says, I am jealous over you with a godly, chaste, jealous love. Ladies, God demands and God longs to be only your supreme love. Let's put it that way. And he will not share his glory with another. And it's not God and God and. No. No. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. Ladies, if your heart is in love with other things, then you're not loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And God says, the first and greatest commandment is to love him with every breath of your being. And so my question is, ladies, what idols of the heart do you have? In Ezekiel chapter 8, we see a picture that is very, very powerful. When I looked at this and I thought, oh, wow. Ezekiel chapter 8. And he is saying to Ezekiel, as in verse 2, Ezekiel sees the likeness as the appearance of fire. And he sees the appearance of brightness as the color amber. And verse 4, the glory of God of Israel is here. And what does he say? He says in verse 5, then said he unto me, son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And verse 7, it says he sees a hole in the wall. And he says in verse 10, I went and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, all the idols of the house of Israel. And look at verse 11. Who are these people that have this image of jealousy? There stood before them 70 men of the ancients. These are the elders. These are the leaders. And they are worshiping. And he says, verse 12, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. I mean, they have the attitude that, I mean, they're sitting here and they have all these idols of the heart. And they have an image of jealousy and it provokes God to jealousy. Ladies, God is jealous over you. What idols of the heart do you have? And I have a note here to myself. What's an idol? Anything or anyone I love more than I love God. Anything or anyone that I love more than I love God. Anything that takes the place of supreme devotion to God, because God's love is pure, my love for Him must be passionate. Every high place, every grove, you say, well, I don't love anything more than God. What if everything were stripped from you and you were left with only God? The night before everything happened with my husband, I remember singing this song at church. Christ is all I need. All I need. And within one day, I was brought to that reality. You know, God has brought things into our lives with each one of my children where I have had to face the reality, is He enough? When my son was coming home from Hunter Safety with a gentleman, and on a motorcycle, and we almost laugh at it now, but as they were going out, he had a t-shirt and shorts on in the summertime, and they hit an 8-point buck. And I'm joking him, this is Hunter's Safety. You are not supposed to hit the deer when you're coming home from the class. But he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and it was on a gravel road. And Jason, who was with him, felt that rather than, I mean, he sees the buck and he says, you know what? If we get pinned under that buck, it'll kick us to death. So they jumped free on a gravel road going about 35 to 40 miles an hour on a motorcycle. And I remember as we are going into the hospital and I am having to realize, Lord, am I going to trust You? My son is Yours. As my daughter, just a year and a half ago, I was just sat down to Ladies' Heart Conference, or Men's Heart Conference, and of course, ladies can come as well. And I was sitting in there, and I get this note, come here. And, you know, my older daughter and son see it, and they don't think anything of it. And all of a sudden, Trevor Gearhart, who is our camp director, says, we have some news about Becca. Well, I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden, you know, you ever gotten that feeling, that pit? And what had happened is she had gone tubing, and she was going down the hill. She did not have a helmet on, and she hit the tree. Head first and face first. And I am sitting here saying, Lord, 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 am I going to trust You? Yes. Take now Thy Son, Thine only Son, whom Thou lovest, and offer Him to Me. And you know what? Abraham didn't even hesitate. Now, I've seen plays where they show Abraham agonizing. The Scripture does not say that. He had such faith in God. He says, you know what? The Lord can raise him again. And God says, because you have done this, because that your love was that supreme. Ladies, that's the kind of love I'm talking about. The love that says, God, I want to please You. I want to give You every ounce of the glory. And God, You can do whatever is necessary. Only glorify Your name. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. It's a jealous love. It's also a chastening love. Ladies, God loves you too much to let you get away with sin. I've told my children that over and over. They just love it. I says, you know what? Let me just tell you. I have asked God to expose every sin. So every time you sin, God's going to find you out. They just love that. I says, guess what? Mom is praying that too. Mom is praying that too. And you know what? God does just that. It is a chastening love. And we often think sometimes, we think, well, Lord, you know, I really didn't need this. You ever thought that? I didn't need this today. You know? Was this necessary? Yes. Obviously it was. You know, every time I have some people say, well, you know, are you spiritual or whatever? I says, well, I want to serve the Lord. I love the Lord, but God reveals to me the utter depravity of my heart every single day. I've often said to ladies, I says, you know what? Nothing has done more to show me that depravity than having three children. And I, you know, I'll be honest with you, ladies. I adore all my three children, but every one of them have had major struggles. I had somebody say to me one time they had low maintenance kids. I said, what are those? Never heard of them. All three of my kids have struggled. Now, granted, they have been through some very, very grave difficulties. And I have tried and we have agonized together on the principles of forgiveness. But you know what? There comes a place, ladies, where, you know, we want to package it up and give it to them. And there comes a place where you realize, I can't change their heart. I can't make them take this. And when your children look at you and say, Mom, I don't know that I want this. I don't know that I buy into this, as Brother Hughes was sharing. And you know, parents beat themselves up. I've done that. And spit themselves out for dinner and they say, I have failed, I have failed. And I say to myself, Lord, show me, break me, reveal me. You know, ladies, if your goal and you're consumed with my kids have got to turn out right, then you know what? You're going to try and control and manipulate them. If your passion is that God be glorified and He accomplish His purpose, then you're going to pray for them. The greatest work you can do for your children is on your knees. And as each one of mine have struggled, I mean big time, and have made some really dumb choices. And when my oldest daughter, and I mean I watched her agonize with the bitterness as she had vivid memories of what her dad had done to her. And I mean there was nothing more I could say or do. And it was God was chastening and revealing to me. And you know what happened? Here she goes to camp and I get this phone call on Wednesday night. Mommy, I got saved. Did I have anything to do with that? No. God forbid I ever have the delusion that I'm a good parent. It's all of Him. Now, I want to be a godly parent. I want to attach them to Christ. Attach them to His Word. And I'm in no way negating your responsibilities, ladies. You will give an account that you've taught them and trained them. But I can't change the heart. And then with my son, I remember saying, Lord, please work, please work, please work. And you know what God brought to my heart? Why are you asking? Is it so that others will think that you have a good reputation? Is it so that others will look at you? Or are you concerned for my glory? Step back. And just the other day, as I was sitting with my son and with Evangelist Brownfield and with our pastor and talking through some things, and I'll tell you, my son began to break down into tears. And he said, I have been hurt so much. And he has. He had a wall up, and that wall began to come down, and Pastor Kimbrough just embraced him, and he began to weep. And as I looked, and God revealed something to me, and I looked at him, and I said, God showed me where I have sinned in this area, and I asked His forgiveness. You know what? That's all of God. It's a chastening love. And ladies, chastening is grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of holiness. Ladies, Moses saw God's glory and experienced His presence. Do you know why? Because he had a pure, passionate love for his God. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, I'm just going to touch on this, that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, he refused the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that Moses chose the reproach of Christ and esteemed it greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He refused the lust of the eyes. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he said no to the lust of the flesh, no to the lust of the eyes, no to the pride of life. And this man who loved God and obeyed God saw the glory of God and said those words, I beseech thee, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Show me thy glory. But Moses made deliberate choices. And you know, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Moses saw it. Why? His love was passionate. He understood and grasped the love of God. But there's a second area, God's glory is manifested in His holiness. It's not only manifested in His love, it's manifested in His holiness. Ladies, those with a passion to see God's glory must not only see His love in every circumstance, they must see that God is holy. Ladies, we need a good dose of the holiness of God. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Holy means to be set apart, pure, completely distinct. He is holy. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Bible says that God calls us to be utterly separated unto Him. If you look at Leviticus chapter 11, it says, I am separating you. And He says, you are to be holy in all manner of conversation. And we see the same thing in the New Testament. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all your conversation. Ladies, do you realize you are set apart totally for the Lord? What are you tolerating? Oftentimes I've heard Dr. Ola say this. He says, a ministry and a life is not determined by what a person, what they do or what they teach as much as what they tolerate. And so I'm going to ask you some pointed questions here. Are you holy before the Lord? About a year and a half ago, our president said these words. He says, I've asked God to expose any area that offends His holiness. And He says, I've asked God to give us a deep brokenness. And I'll tell you, the Lord did. And I'll tell you, all of a sudden, all these things in the student body started coming out. And I mean, we had people who had been living in sin, and we had people who were saying, you know what? I've been messing around with this. And so, ladies, are you holy? And let me make this practical in how you use your time. Are you circumspect in your time? How about in what you wear? How about in what you say? How about in your entertainment, what you watch and listen to and read? We have a lot of young girls who are reading a lot of garbage and watching garbage. And they think, well, it doesn't affect me. Uh-uh. You listen to it. You dwell on it, you believe in it, believe on it, and you're going to act on it. I know when my oldest daughter, you know, well, Mom, why can't I read these Christian romance novels? I said, Sarah, they are creating desires in you that cannot be rightfully fulfilled within the bounds of Scripture. I said, they are defrauding you, and fantasy life never equals out to reality. And trying to help her see that, you know, how you treat others, are you holy? How about how you use the money? Is it God's money or yours? I'm just going to charge it. Bless God, He'll pay it. My husband will when the bill comes due. You know, I mean, how about in your speech? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Does your speech defile the character of God? How about your spirit? I know, ladies, sometimes you say, not me. Sometimes, have you ever had one of those days where the kids come out and they're like, Mom's having a bad day? And if Mom's having a bad day, everybody's having a bad day. I'll never forget when one of my children looked at me and they said, what's your problem? And do you know what this woman said to him? You! I would be real spiritual if I didn't have these three children! And you know what? My spirit was far from holy. It was wretched. And they always were, Mom? Aren't you supposed to be? I don't want to hear it anymore. Be quiet. Close the mouth. You know, my spirit, my attitude, is it holy? Your worship. You cannot worship a pure God with a pagan heart. My God is holy. And that means that my thoughts must be holy. Ladies, I deal with so many young girls, and the number is increasing. And you know what? Outwardly, they look fine. But their thought life is wicked. And I've had them sit, and the tears begin to come, and you know what's happening? They are not casting down imaginations. They are not bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, and you say, well, what do you mean by that? Just what it says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You cannot attack and try and pull down spiritual strongholds with fleshly weapons. And what happens is that when we have wrong thinking and we harbor hurt and we give ground to Satan or place to the devil, then he builds a stronghold. And we cannot try and get rid of that by earthly weapons. You have to tear down every high place, cast down every imagination. So I try and help them to learn how to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Ladies, our God is holy. How's your thought life? We have so many women who are out of control in so many areas of life. They're out of control in their thought life. They're out of control in their tongues. They're out of control in so many areas. Let me go a step further, and I'm gonna address this a little more tonight on symptoms of spiritual heart disease. But boy, this is a tough one for me. How about my eating habits? You say, oh, don't go there. God went there with me. I sat in a service, and I remember Pastor Olson saying these words, focus, intensity, discipline. He says, if you want to be a child of God who wants revival, he said, those three things. I thought, okay, focus, intensity. And then he said this. Why do they have to do this? And he said this. He says, any area that's out of control is an area that's unsurrendered. And God nailed me in that area. And I said, not this, Lord. No. We're not going there, Lord. And I mean, I wrestled with the Lord. God says, Carol, are you going to obey? Ooh, Lord, I don't have a husband, and I don't have this, and I don't have this. Oh, I'm very good at pity parties. You know what? I can invite all kinds of guests to my pity parties. Nobody ever shows up. God says, Carol, I want it all. Every area. Every high place. Are you holy? Thirdly, His glory is manifested in His power. Have you thought about the power of God? It's manifested in His love. It's manifested in His holiness. It's manifested in His power. His power is glorious. Isaiah 40, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and I described to you how great they are. You know what, ladies? His power is evidenced in His salvation. Three times we see these words, to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. His power is evidenced in prayer. That's why we're here. You know, in Ephesians 1, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His what? Power to usward who believe. And Ephesians 3, we see these words. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. Ladies, His power is evidenced in belief. When He said to Martha, said I not, if thou wouldst believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God. You know, the children of Israel saw the God of Israel as much as they could. In Exodus 19 and in Exodus 24, they saw God's power. But do you know what? They didn't experience His manifest presence. Do you know why? Because their love for Him was not pure and passionate. They saw the God of glory. Exodus 19 tells us what they saw. They saw God as much as was possible in Exodus chapter 19. In verses 16 through 19, it says, "It came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." I mean, they saw, and we see the same thing in Exodus chapter 24, in verse 16 and 17. It says, "The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." They saw that, but what happened in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses didn't come down? When God tested them, and they waited. Verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down..." Can I say this, ladies? Testing over time reveals you. What did they do? We know. They made the golden calf. "These be thy gods, which delivered you." And God says in verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down." Now notice, "for thy people..." Up until this point, he's called them his people. He says, "Thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel. And behold..." He says in verse 9, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them." God is jealous, ladies. "And that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And Moses, beautiful prayer of intercession. But do you know what? Look at Exodus 33. I mean, Moses, when he sees it, by the way, is mad. I mean, when he sees what they have done, I mean, basically, you look at verse 19 and 32, it says, "And when it came to pass, as soon as he came into the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot." In modern language, he was ticked. And you should be at sin. "And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount." And we look at chapter 33. "The Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send out an angel before thee," but look at verse 3, "unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." They saw. They saw, but they didn't experience his presence. Why? Because their love was not pure. It wasn't holy. And Moses then begs God. Verse 13. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Ladies, Do you have that hunger for the presence of God? How much do we do every day in the arm of the flesh? You know, you say, well, I do a lot of things. Do you have the passion that says, Lord, if your presence and your power are not here, I don't want to take one step? Not one. Do you long to see His glory? Then your love for Him must be pure and passionate. You must understand He is jealous. You must be holy. You see, I can't do that in myself. Exactly. Exactly. You know, one of the things I want my children to understand is they can't live the Christian life apart from divine enabling. It is impossible. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do. Do you really believe it? Does your life evidence that? I cannot speak to you. I cannot be a mother. I cannot teach one class. I can do nothing without God's presence and power. Do you want to know, ladies, whether you're desperate for the presence and power of God? Do you pray fervently, passionately, and in everything? And that rebukes me. I can get going and we're moving along this and it's like, forgive me. Forgive me. And only then, ladies, when we have a pure love, a jealous love, when we are holy, when we see God's power, will we experience His manifest presence. And ladies, you know what? The place of His presence is the place of intimacy. If you go back to Exodus and you see God says these words to Moses, Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That's intimacy. And verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and hast found grace in thy sight. Ladies, it's the place of intimacy. The psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. That's the secret intimate presence. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Secret intimacy. You will never experience that, ladies, without a holy, pure love. You will never see His passion. You will never see His glory and have that passion without that love. It's the place of experiencing His goodness. Back in Exodus. And it's the place of experiencing His goodness. The Bible says when he wanted to see the Lord, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and there I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Ladies, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? That's what I pray for my children. God, I want Sarah, Caleb, and Rebecca to taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted and seen that He's good. Always. All the time. The Lord is good to all and His tender mercies are over all His works. Whenever somebody wants to say, well, if God loved me, stop right there. It is never if. I am not worthy of the least of His mercies. I deserve nothing but hell. Anything else is pure grace. And God has blessed me so greatly. And it's the place of seeing His glory. Ladies, do you hunger and thirst as the psalmist did? Oh God, thou art my God. Is He your God? Early will I seek thee. That means before anything else. Early, evening and morning at noon. Lord, as soon as I open my eyes, I surrender all. I'm here. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. Thou art God and God alone. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth. By Thy great power and stretched out arm, there is nothing too hard for Thee. Lord, I offer up all that I am, all that I have, all that I do, all that I suffer. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for Thee. You ever been really thirsty? My flesh longs for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see Thy power and Thy glory. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's what Brother Hughes said. And when I heard that, I thought, yes! I'm not passionate, sorry. I need to calm down. All right, I get excited. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. And it is. You will not see His glory or experience His presence, ladies, in the fullness that you can, unless you see and experience His love, unless you see His glory and His holiness and His power. So my question is that what you desire? Ladies, do you have a renewed mind, a passionate heart, and a submissive will? Because if not, God does not reveal Himself to the casual observer, but to the diligent and passionate seeker.